This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Say yes to Pure Leaf Tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf Tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What is Dax, are you
tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
As we approach 4 o'clock here on this incredibly busy Thursday, it's Super Bowl Thursday. We will find out what Malik Nabers had to say yesterday and how it relates to the future of the quarterback position for the New York Football Giants. But we need to take care of some very, very important business. It involves one of our coworkers, the great Boomer Esiason. Last Thursday night, so it was a week ago, Boomer went on social media and he caused quite a hubbubaloo. He tweeted, "I'm feeling like Pete is a Met tomorrow." And then on the awesome morning show that we have, Boomer said, "Yeah, I think he's going to be a Met today." I want Boomer to be right. Okay, I don't want Boomer to be wrong. I want Pete Alonso on the Mets. I've been screaming about it all for years, basically. So last Friday, we said, look, I hope Boomer's right. But if he's not right by the close of business, we have to take our L that we created here on Evan and Tiki. It's a wearable L. And he, the cardboard cutout of Boomer that's right behind me, if you're watching on SNY, he'd have to wear the L. Obviously, Pete did not sign on that Friday, so we put the L around his neck. It stayed there on Saturday and Sunday and Monday and Tuesday. And it was there. He's wearing an L because he was wrong. He said, "I have a feeling Pete is a Met tomorrow." He wasn't a Met. And I want him to be right. Trust me, I'd rather be wrong and happy than right and miserable. And I feel the exact same way about coworkers' opinions. I'm just selfish. I want Pete to be a Met. So obviously last night, Pete Alonso re-signed. And I knew this would lead to a debate. Ah, was Boomer really right? Was Boomer really wrong? Al Dukes, who, you know, is obviously a little biased as the fine longtime producer of Boomer and Carter, now Boomer and Geo, promptly goes on Twitter and says, "Checkmate, Evan." And then he did, it's actually kind of funny, an AI picture of Boomer Esiason with an AI picture of Pete Alonso. The only problem is he made Boomer obese, which I thought was wrong and mean. Yeah, he made AI.
Eat me. Did he do that on purpose? There's no way he did that.
No, I don't think he did it on purpose, but unfortunately he made Boomer. I thought that was disrespectful to Boomer, but that's just me. He made him obese. I spoke to someone, a high-level member of the morning show today, and I asked them behind the scenes. I said, "Look, I'm not going to say your name, but do you think, because Pete stayed with the Mets, that we should remove the L from Boomer and apologize and say, you know what, you got it right?" This high-ranking member of the morning show said, "Okay, I'll be honest with you. Evan, he deserves the L to go away, but he wasn't right. He was wrong.
Yes.
But because he remained with the Mets, I don't think you need to publicly shame him anymore with the L."
Yes.
And
I
honestly
agree with that.
You agree with that?
I agree with that.
I completely agree with that, too. I don't think Boomer should wear the L anymore. Mm-hmm. But to take credit, like Gio even said, he gets a 1 week grace period. Come on.
Wait, so are we leaving the L on because he's taking false credit?
No. So here's where I got to defend Boomer. Mm-hmm. I listened very carefully to what everyone said, or at least I tried. Gio, and I think Gio's just being a good partner here, kept saying, "Ah, he got it right. Al Dukes is a good, he got it right." They were being loyal. Guys, something Tommy Lugau was not, right? They were very loyal. Boomer wasn't really saying, "See, I was right." I think he was sort of embarrassed by the whole thing. Like, right. Oh, he's a Met. Boomer was mostly just excited that Pete's a Met.
Of course.
So I don't think he deserves an L for that. Honestly, I don't think he deserves an L anymore. But the idea that he's going to get any victory is ridiculous.
Right, so I'm taking the L off.
Do you agree with that?
Yeah, I think we take the L off.
Do you guys agree? We're all a show. You agree the L should go away?
Okay, I want to make this very clear. The L should go away, but also on the basis of our constitution about the L, it shouldn't be worn forever anyway.
Of course.
He's faced a 5-day punishment of wearing the L anyway.
Mm. True.
So that's the way I look at it.
So do you think he still was wrong?
But look, here's the thing.
Or he's just served his time, so take off the L.
I am taking off the L because I think the coincidentally of 5 days, you've served your time, and he signed with the Mets, but it's more he served his time. Mm. Look, there was always a chance, because we all read the tweets, how many suitors there were for Pete. There was always a chance he could come back. So for Pete to sign 5 days after Boomer's feeling it was happening on Friday, you can't then say CEO is right, because then that just leaves
the
door open for...
Boomer wasn't necessarily saying CEO was right.
Yeah, it was his guys more defending.
Okay, his guys have to be more aware. It's not like today we woke up stunned that Pete's actually a Met.
Right, there was nowhere else for Pete to go.
Exactly. That's why, although Boomer's not taking credit, come
Boomer was only wrong because he put a finite time on.
I agree.
Exactly.
That's the only wrong. And that's why he was wearing the L, because on Friday, we said, if it doesn't happen by close of business, which was 5 o'clock on Friday, you got to take the L.
Absolutely.
And he took the L, and he wore it all weekend. And then when he signed, Boomer or somebody came in here and took the L off.
No, it was Boomer, and I give Boomer a little credit, because he said he took the L off, unless he had one of his henchmen do it. He said he did. He actually pasted a W over the football that his placard is holding.
Yes.
So, do you agree with this, Tommy?
Yeah, I agree the L should come off. And I think that the reason the other guys are defending Boomer is because he was getting dragged through the media all weekend long.
Well, we're not the media. We're just
us. No, I agree, but that's why they're defending him more.
I'm not the New York. I'm not writing headlines.
No, I understand that, but I'm saying I think that's his teammates sticking up for him, because he was right. He ended up signing a couple of days later.
Good teammates. Yeah.
What the New York Post wrote is the New York Post.
I thought they were done with us, by the way.
All I could say... Excuse me?
Oh, I thought they were done with us, I heard.
I have no idea what he's talking about.
You don't get the joke.
I don't know. I do not.
I'll play the drop you.
All I know is... the L should go away.
David, believe it.
I would agree with that. So, ladies and gentlemen, we'll have a nice little presentation. Do you want to take the L off, Teague?
Yeah, I'll take the L.
And you know the real winner here is Phil Sims. Because Phil from 12 years ago didn't deserve to be sitting next to an L for that long.
What's funny is Phil Sims' face is now exposed because the placard of Boomer is connected to Phil. But for a while, we had a Rey Mysterio Jr. mask on it. So his face wasn't, exposed. But now it's been exposed. So, what are you doing, Teague?
He's exposed.
Oh, he's covering the Phil Sims part. All right.
And there it goes. The L being removed from Boomer's fake head.
There you go.
It's off now.
Congratulations.
And we have a vacant L heading into the Friday before Super Bowl weekend.
Well, that L that is worn when people need to be held accountable right here is on the line this weekend, because as agreed upon here on the Evan and Teague program, if the Eagles win the Super Bowl, Sean Morris has to wear that L for
a month.
Good.
What do you mean good?
No, I wanted you to acknowledge what your penalty is.
I have fought my way out of a lot of things I was wrong on. There will be no fighting on Monday if the Eagles win the Super Bowl. I can't fight that.
That won't be impossible.
I get you, man. You've been fighting the Eagle fan and the Saquon Barkley argument for a long time. I think that's why I'm so pumped up for the Super Bowl. I'm pumped up for a myriad of reasons. The Mahomes stuff, chasing Brady. I think the game's going to be awesome.
Wait.
What?
The Road to New Orleans on the Fan is sponsored by Bet365.
I'm really pumped up to learn Sean's fate, because if the Eagles win, well, I'll be disappointed. He is going to take such a beating from the Philadelphia community. He's got to wear the L. I also have no idea how he's going to react. I also know that if somehow the Eagles lose, he's going to do epic things. He may do what Boomer threatened to do to me. Boomer threatened to take a dump on my desk.
Right.
I can only imagine what Sean's going to do.
But what victory lap are you going to take if they lose?
Tiki, all I'm going to do is promise you this. A good magician never reveals their tricks. I swear to you, there is a good opportunity the internet actually breaks with what I have up my sleeve if the Chiefs win the Super Bowl.
Really?
Wow.
You will see something happen on the internet, on my Twitter, at Sean Morash, or at Morash Radio on Instagram, that you have never, ever seen before in the history of TikTok, Twitter, Instagram. And I've done the research. I promise you.
So I think that
is celebratory, baby.
That is very exciting, and I obviously hope it happens. If the Eagles win, though, will you ever tell us what that would have been, or is that always going to be a state secret?
Mm.
You know, my gut says I want to tell you because it's so good, but I can't make that because you got to see what kind of mood I'm in.
Right. Maybe, and you also maybe might want to save it for something else.
But here's the thing.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing.
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. Five-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season two on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season one and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season two.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Thing. I don't think it works for anything else. It's timely. Let's just say that.
Interesting. All right, we'll keep an eye on that.
Yeah. By the way, the road to New Orleans on the Fan is sponsored by Bet365. Whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365.
If you're just tuning in, the NBA trade deadline has passed. The Knicks did not make any moves besides the move they made last night, which they traded Jericho Sims to the Milwaukee Bucks. They got DeLon right back. There were also swaps of guys that they have control of from overseas, basically. Mm-hmm. The draft rights to numerous players. So outside of that, Knicks are quiet at the trade deadline. The Nets did not sell. They didn't do any of that. So after what was a nuts 5 days, including last night with Jimmy Butler being sent to Golden State, a very quiet major part of the deadline over the last few hours. We'll get to what Malik Nabers said about the Giant quarterback situation coming up this hour. Plus, we'll hear from Bad Tiki. But right now, we go to Dylan in Floral Park. How are you, Dylan?
How we doing, Ev? How we doing, T?
Oh, it's good, man.
What's up?
You got to be doing great. Thank God we got Pete Alonso back, and I just want to thank you guys and definitely Positive Tommy for making it happen. I think Boomer doesn't need an L. I don't think any Mets fan deserves one today. We should just be happy that we got our guy back, and now we can look forward to a World Series with a lineup that's going to be formidable.
Well
He's got to be back.
Well said.
You're 100% right, because that's the other thing I noticed about Boomer. He really doesn't deserve an L because he's as happy as maybe me.
Right.
Like, I think if I had to rank the happiest Met fans right now at this radio station, it's me and him. Like, not to put anyone down, like, Sal's not that happy. Tommy's happy, but he's pretty calm. Like, I think me and Boomer would have actually hugged each other if we saw each other this morning, just out of the sheer excitement that Pete Alonso's back. Lorenzo's in Keyport. What's up, Lorenzo?
Hello, boys. Tiki, I have a very, very important question that was approved by Tommy Lugauer. But first, if I can address this 5:30 thing from a guy who wears socks during pickleball,
Yes. Yes. That's me, by the way. That's me. Hi, how we doing? That was a year ago. That was
Evan,
fun.
I genuinely love you. I love when you do math like Howard Stern. I love all the nuances you do. But you are going to take a beard from our team, who just won the NLCS, mm-hmm. going for a World Series, and flush it down the toilet? A toilet. You're going to, the symbolism of this is just beyond me. And then to say, all staffers, please show up before 5:30, before you go into the bathroom. You want them to show up after 5:30, my friend. Because if they go at 5, you're going to be in a problem.
Well, so the symbolism, I want to address the symbolism here. The symbolism isn't flushing away the Mets like it's bad. It's saying, all right, we don't need the beard anymore, mm-hmm. all right? It worked its magic a year ago.
It's just to get rid of it. We could burn it, but we don't want the smell.
Right, we thought about burning it. It was going to be too dangerous.
Right, we were going to dump it in the Hudson River, but it's too freaking cold out.
That's no, right.
The bottom line, raining.
The bottom line and the way to look at this is the Mets and Pete Alonso were in a hairy situation, and we're getting rid of the hairy situation.
And the beard represented Pete Alonso like coming back to the Mets,
that's
not
right.
the Mets season.
No.
So it has nothing to do with the Mets and their season.
And also, like I said this earlier about last season was amazing. Mm. Like when I think about some of the most fun seasons I've ever had as a Met fan, 2024 will always live in a very special place despite them not getting to the World Series or, dare I say, winning it.
Right.
But this is a different year now. And we really do need to move on from the fun and the hijinks and everything that happened a year ago.
Yeah, but how do you get the... So why was that necessary?
Why was that necessary?
The grimace, the pimp, the Haktua stuff. Like, why was all of that necessary?
Because I think last year, the Mets had
OMG.
This... I think they
Cam
had...
Cam Thomas.
What was that?
Cam Thomas.
Okay. You're including Cam Thomas Cam throwing Thomas. Out the first pitch?
Oh, you include Grimace and Hawk, too?
Nobody remembers that besides me and you.
Seymour Wiener. Let's not forget about
That's
him.
That's a big one. I think because last year was just one of those low-expectation years. Like, yeah. no one believed in the Mets.
No, of course not.
Believe it or not, I was, like, the most positive guy around here, and right. all I said was they were going to win 85, 86 games. Like, I wasn't that positive, but everyone thought they were going to suck. People thought this was the worst team ever. We remember what was said around here. They right. got to trade everybody. The core's rotten. This sucks. That sucks. So I think when you have a season with such low expectations and then you have a bad start, you kind of have one of those miracle years. And in a lot of ways, last year was a miracle year. So you ask, why did they need all that stuff? Because they probably weren't that good.
Right. You gotta explain how they were overcoming the reality of what their team was.
Yeah. Let's go to John and Paramus. Hey, John.
Hey guys, how are you? Tiggy, hope you make the Hall of Fame next year.
One of these years, possibly. I just want to be discussed.
Maybe Eli. Maybe Eli also. Maybe Eli this year. Hopefully, let's go.
We'll see.
We shall see.
But Sean, what happens to your old boss if the Eagles lose on Sunday? Going to give him hell?
No, that's irrelevant to my life.
You don't care about our old boss, Spike Eskin, who works in Philadelphia.
We're adults here.
No, he'll cry into whatever vegan cereal he's got to eat, and that's the end of it. It's more the Eagles fan base in general, not personalized one-on-one Eagle fan.
Yeah, it's true. Plus, I think Spike's one of those guys that really doesn't actually care what happens.
Yeah, it's true. Believe me, I have bookmarked, and I've seen plenty of you in my Instagram DMs. You'll get personal messages back.
Wow, you're going to be very active on Sunday night.
There's a good chance. You know, Evan, when you say, oh, I couldn't sleep at night, let me do this. There's a good chance I don't go to bed Sunday night if the Eagles lose.
Let's go to Ozzie and Woodridge. What's up, Oz?
Just show up drunk.
What's up, everybody?
Yo!
What's up, Ozzy?
How you doing, man?
With all due respect to the mascots that you just mentioned for the past year, the Mets, Grimace, and so on and so forth, the original Mets mascot is back, the LFGM Polar Bear,
that's
baby.
That's right. The LFGM, the Polar Bear, the cursing on a live mic at Citi Field, the awkwardness. Pete Alonso is me yep. if I was athletic. Like, he's a doofus, just like me. That's what I love about Pete Alonso.
Amen, brother. And before I get to my question for the distinguished panel, I think I solved the mystery from yesterday's show on why Evan's voice has changed so much since the Giants won their last Super Bowl.
Right. Yeah, why is that? Miss it, we listened to from Super Bowl 46?
Yeah, it was the second Giant-Patriots Super Bowl. Right. We played a quick clip in the FAN archives of Joe and I.
And Evan sounded like he was 12.
Yes, I sounded very young. What's your theory on why my voice was so, you know, young?
Because for years, you've been gagging on meat. So that's got to, like, strain your vocal cords, I would think.
Oh, Jesus. I mean, come on. I mean, my God.
Oh, God.
Tiki's laughing.
Oh, that hurts.
Tiki's the one guy laughing. Tommy and Sean look like they want to kill you.
Well, that's because you actually have like an acid reflux thing when you eat, when you eat meat.
No, you're right.
You throw up instantly when you eat a burger or steak all the time, but yet you keep going back to
it. You know what's crazy about that? Not that anyone cares. So do you remember when I had to have that medical procedure a few weeks ago? Or a few months ago now?
Yes. Yeah.
That was to fix that. I have not choked one time on any kind of meat. Since I had that procedure.
So you're swallowing the meat fine now.
I've had no issues, I'm telling you.
That's
it's
cool.
Been that procedure worked out so well that I got no problem.
Give me the meat. I want the meat. I was going to say, you're going to have to become a vegan like Spike.
Yeah. Thank God I don't.
Your gagging days are behind.
That'd be the worst. All right, what's your question for all of us before we can move on?
What's up, man?
Well, I'm happy for you. I'm happy that you can take all the meat you want.
We got it. Thank you.
Evan, you were out this particular day. I asked Santa, Sean, and Tiki, so I'll ask it again on that day, which team is having the better offseason, the Mets or the Yankees, as far as acquisitions and retaining players?
Well, you know what's interesting about that question? And I apologize because I wasn't able to pull this audio whenever Tiki makes a TV appearance. I like to pull the audio like when he was on Telemundo. So I didn't get the MLB Network audio, but my sources tell me that when Tiki was on MLB Network, he was on there this morning. Mm-hmm. He was asked that very question. Who's had a better offseason, the Mets or the Yankees? And I think we'd all agree that as much as I try to be an IBO or Tommy pretends to be or Sean pretends to be, Tiki really is the true IBO. What was your answer on MLB Network when they asked you that very same question of who had the better offseason?
Well, in a nutshell, it was the Mets because they signed the best player in baseball.
Mm.
I know the Yankees have done some good things. They brought in bullpen help. They brought in a starting pitcher, Bellinger to play first or play the outfield, and Goldschmidt to play first base. But when you sign the best player in baseball, you win the offseason.
Okay.
Period. And now adding Pete Alonso to fill out the top of that lineup, it just solidifies that. But it's really because of Juan Soto.
Do you, Sean, as the Yankee fan on this panel, do you agree with that, or is that something you'd want to argue about? I have no idea. It's up to you.
It's not an argument. I think two things are true here. I think I'm going to enter 2025 believing the Yankees have the more complete team.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and probably the better chance to get back to the World Series.
And the league has something to do with that. But just overall, 1 through 26, I think the Yankees are more complete. Better offseason? Any Yankee fan that tells you the Yankees had a better offseason is lying.
Yeah.
They lost their best player, best hitter, and the Mets gained the best hitter in baseball. That's it.
That's a very mature answer. You're right about that, because I think that the first things you said I also agree with. And a lot of that is the American League is not good.
Yeah.
It's not nearly as good as the National League. And I don't mean that in any kind of demeaning way. Like, I'd rather be in a crappy league. Trust me. Sean and I happen to be New Jersey Nets fans. They got to the NBA Finals partly because the Eastern Conference was garbage.
I don't even remember the rest of the Eastern Conference back then, but you're probably right.
Yeah, the Antoine Walker, Paul Pierce Celtics. I mean, seriously.
Yeah. That was the conference finals. Yeah.
So, and I have no regrets about that. Like, I don't feel dirty about that. So no Yankee fan should ever care that the American League is weak. It is not meant in any kind of demeaning way. But you're right. The New York Yankees have a far better chance of going to the World Series than the New York Mets do.
Right. And part of it
is that crazy?
No, you're not. It's not crazy. And I didn't get into this with Harold and Matt, but the other side of it is, look, I know that the Yankees have brought in some big names, right? Max Fried's a big name. Cody Bellinger's a big name. Devin Williams, a big name. I don't know how those guys are going to perform in New York.
Mm.
I don't. I know how Juan Soto's going to perform.
That's a fair point.
By the way,
that's a fair point.
Juan Soto could be on the moon, and he's going to perform.
Yes.
It's just in his nature.
Yeah. Like,
can he get there, though, Tiki?
Yes, you can get to the moon. It's not going to take you an exponentially long amount of time.
You can get to the moon. The question is, can you hit a baseball on the moon?
Can you hit a baseball? I mean, it'd probably be really easy to get a baseball on the moon.
Even I can hit a baseball on the moon.
Right.
Yeah, I think.
But the reality is, like, I know what the Mets have done, I know how those guys are going to perform. There's certain athletes that it doesn't matter where they are.
Yeah.
They're going to be good no matter what. / great, no matter what. I'm talking on Soto now. There's other athletes where you just don't really know. There's a switch that maybe needs to be turned on that you don't know if it's going to get turned on in the Big Apple. And I'm not worried about it. I'm not worried about Cody Bellinger or Max Fried or any of these guys being overwhelmed by New York, but I also don't know if they're going to be superstars in New York.
I also think, like, the Yankees considering their plan A didn't work. Because clearly their plan A was Juan Soto. I mean, yes. No, that was the thing I was arguing about a few weeks ago when Hal Steinbrenner said, hey, I think we're better than last year. I said, well, wait a second. Did you want, you tried to get Juan Soto back.
Mm-hmm.
So if you thought you were better off dispersing the money, and that was really the point he was making.
Right.
Why did you even go after Juan Soto?
He should have said, like, financially or risk-wise.
Right.
That's what he should have said.
But I think that the Yankees did a really good job, and they're not done yet, because I do have one prediction in the hopper, as I've said. They're going to make one more move, and that move will be Nolan Arenado. I believe he'll be a New York Yankee before the start of the season. Just wait. Just be patient on that. So there is one more move to be made. But I think considering they lost a brilliant player like Juan Soto, I think they pivoted in a really good way.
And they did it really quickly.
Oh, no doubt.
Right. So it didn't linger. It wasn't, you're not waiting until now.
Right.
Beginning of February to figure out what the hell the Yankees are going to be. You knew kind of right away what they were going to be.
No question about it. Bad Tiki will join us in his normal spot, 4:30 on a Thursday. We'll talk to you in a few minutes. We'll also hear from Malik Nabers, but it is Thursday. It is 4:30 p.m. Eastern time. It's that part of the week I look forward to every single week. It's time to hear from Bad Tiki. And Bad Tiki, of course, is brought to you by Security Dodge Chrysler Jeep Ram. Shop 24/7 at securitydodge.com and come get some. For those that have never heard Bad Tiki, let me just give you this warning. Bad Tiki is a sentient AI-generated being, not affiliated with or representative of the real Tiki Barber. The views and opinions expressed by Bad Tiki do not reflect those of Tiki Barber, WFAN Odyssey, or its advertisers. Tiki Barber is a real person with his own thoughts, beliefs, and opinions, which are entirely separate from those expressed by Bad Tiki. Listeners and viewers are strongly advised to exercise critical thinking and discernment when engaging with the Bad Tiki segment. All right, it's Super Bowl week, the biggest week in sports, and we are joined, as always, by the one and only Bad Tiki, Bad Tiki.
Oh, you don't know.
What?
That's cute. That's real cute. I'm in New Orleans, baby.
Oh.
The Big Easy, NOLA, the Crescent City, the host city of the Super Bowl, where actual celebrities go for the biggest week in sports. Unlike you pack of sad freaks stuck in a studio like a couple of jabronis doing local traffic updates, Bad Tiki walks among the stars in New Orleans.
All right, we get it, Bad Tiki. You're in New Orleans, but why are you in New Orleans? You don't even like football.
Ah, my sweet, naive, washed-up running back. You think Super Bowl week is just about the game? No, no, no. It's about the parties, the VIP suites, the ladies of the night, the all-night benders with me and my pal Raji. Any celebrity worth a damn is in New Orleans this week. You know who's not in New Orleans? You guys. Guess that says a lot. Bad Tiki and Raji paint the town red.
Yeah, well, Bad Tiki, some of us have actual jobs to do. And who the hell is Raji?
The commish, Roger Goodell. Ever heard of him? But enough about your failures. Let's talk about my success. See, while you two are playing make-believe radio hosts, I am here in New Orleans for a much bigger reason. I'm here to do what I do best, making sure the right team wins the Super Bowl, if you know what I mean.
No, Bad Tiki, what the heck do you mean?
Come on, Evan. Everybody knows there is a script. Bad Tiki writes the script. Bad Tiki is the Martin Scorsese of the NFL. Bad Tiki is the Stephen King of the NFL. Bad Tiki is the Dr. Seuss of the NFL. Bad Tiki is the script. Bad Tiki, Shakespeare.
But Bad Tiki, why would you rig the Super Bowl?
Because, my dear simple-minded potato head with legs, the longer the Chiefs keep winning, the more time I get to spend in the exclusive ultra-elite suite with Taylor Swift and Ryan Reynolds. You know who else is in that suite? Blake Lively, Paul Rudd, Jason Sudeikis, and who else? Not you losers! Elite Bad Tiki! And his famous Hollywood best friends.
Wait, so let me get this straight. You've been fixing Chiefs games just so you can hang out with Taylor Swift and Ryan Reynolds?
Wrong again, Evan. Oh. Stupid, flaming hot cheat-out head. My buds Taylor and Ryan are trying to get in the suite with Bad Tiki. You can say Bad Tiki is the belle of the ball, but very handsome and super tall. We are best friends. They laugh at all my jokes and do my bidding. But I'm working on a way to get rid of that pesky, overexposed Kelsey family. Why does everyone pretend to like them? Bad Tiki never pretends. Bad Tiki is authentic. Authentic Bad Tiki is going to push out the whole Kelsey family. Check out this plan. Once Mama Kelsey falls in love with Bad Tiki, the rest of the dominoes will fall. Best writer Bad Tiki, romance writer Bad Tiki.
Okay, how are you exactly pulling this off?
Oh, it's been beautiful. First, I bought off the referees, all of them, every single one. It wasn't even hard. You ever see an NFL ref's salary? These guys are out here making less than a decent wedding DJ. I just slid them a couple of Bad Tiki coins, promised them all. Expenses paid trips to my private island that I inherited from my good friend Jeffrey. May he rest in peace. And boom, instant chief favoritism. More wins means more games. More games means more influence and control over the Swifties and whoever likes Ryan Reynolds. Idiots.
There have been accusations by fans that officials favor the Chiefs, so this does explain it all, Bad Tiki.
Shawnee, when Bad Tiki and Raji hit the town, we come up with some great ideas. I've been using Goodell and his influence to get my scripts implemented, and in return, Raji wants in the Bad Tiki Elite Suite. I have enough blackmail in the commissioner to predict the next 11 seasons. I know all Raji's secrets. Bad Tiki is too smart and too tall.
Bad Tiki, this is absolutely absurd. I don't believe a word of this.
You know what I don't believe? If the Mavs had enough sense to trade away their fatty Luka, what are you guys still doing with Marash? He's fat. You can trade him. It's okay to trade fat people now for being fat. Bad Tiki deals away the fats. Bye-bye, Shawnee. Wee. Oink, oink, wee. Don't forget to write if you know how. We, Bad Tiki is so bad.
Bad Tiki, I think we, don't worry, Sean. I think we're going to keep Sean. Now, Bad Tiki, before you go, are you happy about the Alonzo thing? He's coming back.
I am very disappointed in the Pete news.
What?
Pete had no offers. Nobody wanted him. It was a perfect opportunity for me to strike. And then the Mets swoop in and take him back. If he isn't playing baseball, what can he do? He's useless. I was going to make him an offer to become a Tiki. As one of my over 90,000 Tikis, we could have really made some strides in my master plan. I think the Mets got wind of my offer and finally brought Pete back. You're welcome, Mets fans. You're dead to me, Pete Alonso. Wait, negative Tommy? What the heck are you doing in New Orleans?
Bad Tiki is telling the truth. He is pure evil. He wanted Pete to sell him his soul to become a Tiki and work endlessly in one of his many Bad Tiki sweatshops. Everything Bad Tiki said was true, too. He rigged the Super Bowl, and Sean is fat. Bad Tiki, please. End your reign of terror. Bad Tiki, stop eating all the buffalo chicken dip. It's for the big game. Hurry, Bad Tiki. We are going to be late for the Bayou adventure. I want to see the alligators. I do love me some gators.
Mrs. Roberts makes the best buffalo chicken dip. Thanks, Negative Tommy. You're a sweetheart. Okay, time to go on Bad Tiki's Bayou adventure. Tonight, I'm going to conjure up all the dead voodoo spirits of New Orleans. Let's see what happens. Negative Tommy wants to see some gators. That guy loves the gators. Okay, losers, my fan boat is here. Bad Tiki out.
All right, thank you very much, Bad Tiki. Every Thursday, 4:30, so you can either avoid the show or make sure you're listening. Bad Tiki is, I remind you, he's a sentient, AI-generated being not affiliated with or representative of The Real Tiki Barber. The views and opinions expressed by Bad Tiki do not reflect those of Tiki Barber, WFN Odyssey, or its advertisers. Tiki Barber is a real person with his own thoughts, beliefs, and opinions, which are entirely separate from those expressed by Bad Tiki. Listeners and viewers are strongly advised to exercise critical thinking in a sermon when engaging with the Bad Tiki segment. I don't know why. I'm sorry, Sean, that the fat part made me laugh the most.
I was going to get rid of you because you're fat.
I don't mind being called fat. It's just labeling us as the fats, I think, was a bigger issue.
He's fat! That may have been a problem. All right, real quick before we get to your calls, Malik Nabers did a host of interviews down on Radio Row. And I was very impressed by a lot of what Malik Nabers said. First, here's a question. I give credit because I think Adam Schein was the one who asked the question. Do you think Shador Sanders is a good fit with the New York Giants?
I mean, if he fits all the right, you know, attributes that, you know, Dave's in them want, then, you know, we'll welcome him with open arms. You know, we'll feed him all, you know, the right, you know, things for him to come in and be successful. You know, we don't want the rookie coming in and, you know, New York media, you already know how it is, you know. But I feel like he's used to the media already. He's around it a lot, so it won't really have an effect on him. His real main focus will be to, you know, try to win games. So, you know, I think that would be, you know, a very successful pick, you know, if they would like to pick him, you know, if he's available. I'm sure they wouldn't shy away from not picking him, but, you know, the draft is a draft. I'm sure they're going to make a great decision on when that time comes.
I was so...
That's actually a very mature and thoughtful answer.
That's what I'm saying.
That was great, actually.
Did you expect something else?
I don't know what I expected, but that was great.
I'll say this about Malik Nabers. We were trending in such a bad direction with his post-game press conferences in November, if you remember.
Yeah, it was frustration.
And it was frustration, but he flipped at such a hard time in December where that was like he got talked to or something.
Right.
And he has been basically aces with these answers since.
I would say that's actually the best answer one can give because it's easy to say, Shador's awesome. Like, I love him. Right. Remember I caught some balls from him in the street in New York City. Instead, the first thing he said was, if that's what the Giants are looking for.
Right.
Like, he put it on Brian Daboll and Joe Shane. Right. I thought that was a very mature answer.
Right. I trust them to make the right decision.
Right.
And if they get here, they're going to get him right.
And I think, and I don't know if someone told him this, I don't know if he thought about it like ahead of time, like this is chess he's playing. The reason why that's such a great answer is if he just puts over Shador, let's say he just falls into it and says, ah, Shador's great, he's right. I love him, blah, blah, blah. You now create new layers of questions if the Giants don't take Shador Sanders.
Right. Why? You know, are you upset?
Right.
Yeah, it creates a downstream question that you don't want to answer.
And he avoided that by basically saying, I trust the Giants.
Or if they draft Cam Ward, then it becomes, well,
exactly.
Malik was pumping up Shador,
exactly.
And now they both have to answer questions
That's
like that.
Great point.
It was a great answer. I mean, it was really, it was bulletproof. It was perfect. He's then asked, and this is with Pro Football Talk, what are you looking for in a quarterback? Take a listen to these answers, because this is very interesting. And I'm curious if Joe Shane listens to what his number one wide receiver and best offensive player by far, not named Andrew Thomas, says. Here's his answer on what you're looking for in a quarterback.
Really no preference. You know, I just want a guy that's able to, you know, lead the team to wins, be a leader in that locker room, you know, be able to lead the offense when we're out there, be a leader. You know, we need a leader in that offensive role. You know, so next year I'm a step up and be that for sure. But I'm also need a few guys with me. You know, I would want to have a vet in there if we decide to pick a rookie.
Ooh.
In my eye, you know, I would want a vet to be also, you know, in that same room with that rookie, teaching him some stuff. So when he's out there, you know, he's not just out there, you know, in his head. He have to be the savior of this team. You know, that's a lot to put on especially a rookie.
Yeah.
And a younger guy to be coming into a new league and trying to lead the team to, you know, be undefeated or, you know, a conference championship. So just having a veteran in that locker room.
I love how he said undefeated.
Right.
Like, yeah, undefeated.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
Let's just work on winning a few divisional games there, Malik.
It's, again, another smart answer there by Malik. It's, you know, it's interesting he talks about being a leader because in the game – the Eagles game, because we had that. The Eagles-Giants game, the last one. We asked him that question. Like, what's the next step for you stepping up and being a leader?
Mm-hmm.
And he's very quiet. Like, he comes off like he would be boisterous, but he's not. He's a very reserved kid, but confident in himself, but not a vocal leader. And so it's good to hear him say that he's going to step in, or at least try to, step into that role of being a vocal leader for
the
team.
He also gave a strong opinion about a veteran quarterback, which right. I think most of us agree on. I mean, I've certainly made that clear that if you're going to draft a young quarterback, I don't even want the kid playing right away. Now, you made the point the other day on why he could play right away,
yep.
And I understand that. But I like the idea of a veteran kind of starting off the season, kind of like you guys had back in 2004, and certainly Eli to Daniel Jones in 2019. And not that Malik was saying the veteran's got to start, but he was pretty impassioned that a veteran's got to be in that room.
Yeah. Well, I think
Joe Shane's got to listen to that, doesn't he?
Well, I think he also is saying that simply because you need a veteran to just make it easy for the rookie.
Right.
Right. It's so hard to understand all the little things that you have to do. Your coach can tell you, hey, you got to do this, you got to do this, you got to do this. But unless your coach happens to be a former starting quarterback, you're not getting the details of like what a quarterback has to do by himself. Not what you have to do in the meeting room, but what you need to do when you leave home, you know, what you do when you're on your way to work. Like, all those things a veteran can teach you. And so I think that's why it's necessary.
Yeah. Who is that guy, by the way? Who is that veteran? I don't think Malik was thinking about anybody specifically.
I mean, honestly, it's Jameis.
It's Jameis Winston.
It's a guy like Jameis.
And he wants the Giants.
Because he's such a compelling and, like, he's not a shy character.
Right.
Now, if he has to play, it worries you a little bit because he's been an absolute turnover machine. The guy I'd want, but it kind of makes the rookie have to sit for a couple of years, is if he comes available, is Matthew Stafford, because it feels like he's in his last days with the Rams right now. They're probably trying to reset and do something different.
Yeah, Stafford comes, he plays for the year, barring injury.
A year, probably more, though.
Right.
And so I don't think he's one and done.
Can you, by the way, real quick about Stafford, because you did bring him up. Sean, you follow this crap. I'm confused by it, so maybe you could explain it to the audience. Neighbors has been tweeting things that make people think he wants Matthew Stafford. What the hell's going on there?
Okay, so today he did it, I think, for the third straight day. He is simply tweeting the number 9 next to a goat emoji. And everybody keeps saying...
Number 9 next to a
goat? Matt Stafford's number as like the goat or a ram, let's say.
Mm.
But the first time he did it, he said 9 and 10 with that ram goat emoji. And everybody assumed, oh, he wants Cooper Kupp and Matt Stafford. Then he quickly pivoted to just the number 9. And he keeps tweeting this.
Now, he was asked about this today, and he would not answer it. He said, it's a riddle.
Cooper Kupp's number 2.
He said, it's a riddle. I'm not going to tell you. But then was asked about Matthew Stafford and put him over. Basically, he loves Matthew Stafford.
All right. So who on LSU is number 9 and number 10?
Oh, you think it's LSU related?
I mean, what? That's who he knows.
Okay, so people were assuming that the Stafford, because they thought it was a ram emoji.
Okay, but...
Okay, I'll look it up.
I don't know, but I'm just trying to think of something else other than...
Matthew Stafford?
Matthew Stafford. Yeah. Like, what else could it be?
It could have nothing to do with football. Guys, ever think it could be like what he was doing last night. Could be who he's hooking up with. I mean, nobody knows.
I had a 9 last night. Y'all don't even know. And this morning I woke up and she was a 10, bro.
See? You just nailed it. But here's the last thing that I heard Malik say that I thought was fascinating. Before we hear what he says, I don't know what you say.
Go ahead.
If you had to grade Malik Nabor's rookie season, how would you grade it?
His rookie season, how would
A,
I grade
C,
it?
A, B, C, D.
Oh, it was an F. A.
It was an A. Okay.
Definitely an A.
Sean, how would you grade his rookie season?
A.
Tommy?
A plus.
Okay.
So you're all... I can't go A plus.
Why not?
He did have those couple big drops.
Well, I could give whatever grade I want. There were no grading parameters set by Evan. Yeah. He asked me a question.
I mean, he's right.
We agree you can't go higher than A plus, right?
Yeah. Well, no, you could do A plus plus.
No, there's no.
Yes, you can.
That's not a thing, though.
Did you ever get an A plus plus?
No. Of course, from my mother.
I think that was for those that missed it at the beginning of the football season. Both Sean and Tommy were like so high on Malik Nabor's, like insanely high,
and it was justified though.
No, absolutely, I'm not mocking them at all. They did have like a competition almost on who loves him more. So like I'd say, hey, stat prediction for Sunday. And, you know, Sean would say 11 catches, 190 yards.
We weren't off.
And Tommy would hear that and be like, 17 catches for 212.
Wait, Evan, Tommy was very high on Malik Nabor's leading up to the season. Tommy, who drafted Malik Nabor's?
Joe Shane.
Okay, let's go. Keep going.
The reason I had the high grade for him, or I have a high grade for him, he missed a couple games. Look at the quarterback play and look at the numbers. To me, that's A plus.
I'm not arguing with your grade. I'm not arguing with anybody's grade. I was merely asking because
if you're going to grade on the curve, I can see why.
That's fine.
Right.
Malik Nabor's was asked that question. Listen to his grade for himself.
See, why? I just feel like, you know, I missed 2 games. I didn't get 10 touchdowns. You know, I didn't get me and BT, you know, it was a really competition between, you know, all the LSU guys that got drafted, you know.
He's talking Jay about Brian
BT,
Thomas.
So,
not Brandon,
you know,
Tierney.
We was always trying to be, we wanted to be here, especially for the rookie of the year. You know, but stats could have been way better. You know, I could have done a lot of things way better in the season. I grade it as a C. I know my potential.
That's crazy. He gave himself a C.
Definitely wasn't a C.
That's insane.
At worst, it was a B.
I know.
But I give him credit.
That's an answer, man.
I'm telling you, man, set your expectations higher. And that's the reality of it. He wants himself to be higher than that.
And
that's a great thing.
You guys have been right about Malik Nabor's. Yeah. He's something else, man.
Well, I mean,
they only imagine him with a real quarterback.
Right. But you know what it is? Forget, you know, the quarterback for a second. Like, you need players that want to be great.
Yes.
You can't have guys that are just happy to be there. And there's a lot of players in the NFL that are just happy to have a job. I'm good. I'm here. I'm going through the motions. It's fine. Yeah, I'm working hard. But like, to want to be great is a different level. That it's a mentality that only the great ones can find.
Well, there is a mentality, and there's only one person I think of, and it's not that he's the only person. It's what I think of when I think of someone who has extreme talent and says, no, I'm just going to be the best, and that's the Mamba mentality of the late Kobe Bryant.
100%.
Because there are stories about Kobe Bryant's work ethic that you would say, that can't even be real.
Right.
Showing up at gyms at 2 a.m., telling Julius Randle, ask him about it. Yeah, we just landed? No, we're going to go shoot some more.
Mm-hmm.
Like... And that's the difference. And there are some really good players in the NBA who just remained really good.
Right.
And they didn't become great. You can see it on the floor. I'll call names out. Like, they're obvious. I hate to say it. Ben Simmons is that. Giannis Antetokounmpo, in my opinion, is that. Blake Griffin was that.
Right.
Like, they're very, very good players to different levels. But you got to take it up a notch.
Yep.
Michael Jordan, LeBron James, and Kobe Bryant, they're not just great because they had some God-given talent.
Yeah.
That's a lazy answer.
Right, which they did.
They took it to another level, though.
They did, and they expanded it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Let's get to some of your calls, 888-808-1019.
Let's go to Bart on Freeport, Long Island. What's up, Bart?
What's up, Bart?
Hey, I think I have an idea on what you can do with your beard hair without wasting it.
Yeah.
Down the toilet.
Yeah.
Get one of those eight, you know, those 6 foot, just like you got a Boomer and Phil, those big paper cutouts.
Yeah.
And with Pete without the beard, and then just paste your beard on that.
On Pete Alonso. So get a placard of Pete. That's interesting. What do you think of that, Tommy? Is that something you'd be interested in?
Could we get one? How would we get one?
Oh, I could buy a placard of Pete Alonso.
Yeah, that's easy.
That part's easy. The question is, do we want to take my hair follicles and put it on?
No, I think we just need a gift.
We've already reached the point of no return with the weirdness, but...
Can we just dump him in the toilet?
Let's just, yeah. Let's.
I think that this is the end of a run. We had a hell of a run. It's over a year. It's been quite a story, this the beard, from me having a chance to get it cut off when you and I, Sean, played pickleball.
That's right.
Which turned into A-Rod Day, into I was just going to cut the beard off, and then Pete Alonso told me I can't. God, Steve Gelbs called in.
I forgot the beard was attached to pickleball.
That's right. And remember, I was going to cut the beard early in the season, and then Steve Gelbs said, that's not what Pete Alonso said. And then the beard stayed, then I finally cut the beard. Helped turn the Mets season around. Then we all thought the beard was gone, but I actually saved it because I'm a weird freak. And now Pete's back for a year. So we got to say goodbye to the beard. And that's why later at 5:30 we will.
By the way, for the record, for everybody listening, we did say goodbye to the beard. Evan didn't.
That is true.
We Memorial Day weekend.
That is very, very true.
I saved it. That's
nobody knew you
point.
Saved it.
Let's go to Joanne in Manhattan. How are you, Joanne?
I'm fine. How are y'all doing? Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Tiki.
What's up?
Tiki, thank you for all the joy you brought Giant fans for the years you played there.
Thank you. Can I ask you a question, Joanne? Where are you originally from?
Williamsburg, Brooklyn.
Brooklyn. Who says y'all in Brooklyn? I'm impressed by that. It made me feel like I was back in the South for a second.
I used to work for a lot of gentlemen that came from the South, and I think some of their fans stayed with me.
Got it.
But anyway, I like it.
Made me feel comfortable, Joanne.
Thank you. I have to ask you.
Go ahead.
How could any Giant fan root for the Eagles on Sunday?
You can't root for the Eagles on Sunday. Like, some people might bet for them to win. Like, Sean probably is going to bet them to win.
Yep.
I don't think you're rooting for the Eagles. I think it's going to be a great game. There's no way I'm rooting for the Eagles. I have a lot of respect for those guys down there.
But you want Saquon to play well.
Oh, I respect the hell out of Saquon's season. Like, when I see... It goes back to the question we talked about a week ago when I talked about with BT, my very first show. Why do I watch sports? Because I want to see greatness.
And he's great.
Saquon is having one of the greatest seasons ever. And if he wins the Super Bowl MVP, it will be arguably the greatest season ever.
It will go down as one of the great running back seasons in the history of football.
That's right.
If he could put that cherry on top.
That's right.
Randy is in Staten Island. Hey, Randy.
Hey, how's it going?
What's
Thank
up?
You for taking my call.
What's up?
I love the show. Tiki, big Giant fan.
Thank
love
you,
man. Your years of service. Two things, if I might.
Go ahead.
First thing is... Soto, I don't believe is the best. I'm a Mets fan. I don't think Soto's the best player in baseball. I think Judge is better. I also think, Ohtani is also a better player because he pitches, but that's not fair.
Right.
That's the first thing. Second thing is, I'm a Giant fan, and the only way that I can actually win is by betting on the Eagles. So this way, I put $200 on the Eagles. If I win, I still win money, right?
Oh, right.
If they lose, I'm still happy.
You're a man of my own heart, because that's called, I think I trademarked this, emotional insurance,
also,
and I do it all the time.
It's also bragging rights. So whenever the Eagle fan who you happen to run across is like, gee, we won a Super Bowl, you're like, see, I won $2,000.
You know what's weird about that?
We say thank you, Tiki.
Thank you.
I will.
I appreciate you. I bet you guys will win.
I don't think that's going to work because I want to do a little hypothetical game with you. As you know, I take out emotional insurance and things I really care about. One thing I really care about is making sure that the New York Knicks don't win an NBA championship. So let's say they win an NBA championship.
That's why you bought season tickets. So you can make sure they don't win.
Maybe that's part of it.
Or if they're there, you can be there celebrating.
That's right. I went to the Nets game last night just to get the tank back in order, and I got it working. But let's say the Knicks win the NBA title. And I just won $20,000 because I went nuts. And I was like, I got to make sure.
$20,000.
Let's just say. And so, Tommy, I come in and I see you first time after the Knicks win a title. and you are just beyond obnoxious. And rightfully so, by the way.
Mm.
Excited. And I look at you, and I try what Tiki said, and I said, ha-ha, joke's on you, Tommy. I won 20 grand. What are you really going to do with that as a Knicks fan who just won an NBA title?
You're going to be like, can I get a piece?
Can I get a cut, number one? Exactly. Break me off a little bit, and I'm going to say the joke's on you. Because I want a title,
yes.
And you can, you know, wipe your tears with the Benjamins, because it really doesn't make you feel better.
So, yeah. Tommy, this is a rare time where Tommy's 100% right. Like,
I mean, I'd take the 20 G's.
Of course, and my wife will be thrilled, don't get me wrong, but it really isn't going to work against him. It's not like me saying to Tommy, oh, I got 20 grand.
Right.
It doesn't work that way. It's just, it's like a consolation prize. That's all it is. I'm just telling you, because I'm an expert.
It's better than nothing.
I agree.
It's literally what you call it. It's emotional hedge.
But it's not as good as winning.
Of course not.
I won so much money off, off the Bucks beating the Nets in Game 7 a few years ago.
Mm-hmm.
I'm still bitter about the game. But you think I feel so good because I won so much money?
The hapless Nets.
But you're not running across a Bucks fan who's telling you in your face.
Yeah.
Who cares how much money
you won? It's also different, Evan, because that game actually involved your team.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
The Chiefs and the Eagles.
Yes. I got you.
But the Eagles kind of involves the Giants. By the way, I think I may have figured out the answer to the GOAT thing with Malik Nabers.
Yes,
nine GOAT. Joe Burrow wears nine. Joe Burrow went to LSU. So could he be talking about Joe Burrow? Now Sean will have the Giants trading for Joe Burrow, which we have actually pitched before.
What does that mean relative to his tweets?
I think Joe's down at Radio Row, so maybe they ran into each other. Maybe they hit the town. I have no idea.
So you hit the town and you just tweet nine with a GOAT?
Well, you had nine staffer.
Malik at He was
one.
One. No. He was one at LSU? Who was 10 at LSU that year he was there?
Oh, I don't know. Burrow, I know, is nine in the NFL. I don't know if he, I forgot if he wore nine at LSU.
I realized that these tweets, now I no longer care.
Malik Nabers wore number 8 at LSU.
Oh, did he really?
Yes.
Then why are we unretiring numbers for number 1?
I don't know the answer.
It's because Daniel Jones was wearing number 8.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. That was the whole issue.
Can you imagine I'm retiring a number because Daniel Jones is wearing it?
Yeah. Now, do you think he goes back to number 8?
You can't now, right?
Well, you can.
I don't.
If he thinks his season really was a C performance, he could go and say, I'm going to have an A performance.
Thank you. I forget the Giant who's number 1. Who
Ray
one.
Flaherty.
Flaherty. Thank you, Flaherty family. I appreciate you.
I don't think you could do that.
Loaning his first
year. I don't think you could do that.
It's going back into the rafters to be retired.
I don't think you could do that.
I am taking number 8.
I think that's very disrespectful. Because you had the family give you the blessing of taking the number down. You can't then put it back. It's just, you can't do it. You got to have a Hall of Fame career. That's what you got to do. And he's on his way to it.
Yeah.
As long as he's only 1 year in, go out and have that great career. Here's the reality about Malik Nabers, his little tweets. I'm telling you, it has to do with a girl. you guys are trying to fail. It's Joe Burrow. It's Matthew Stafford. It probably has nothing to do at all.
What does he regularly tweet about? Because I have no idea.
I don't follow him. I have
what?
Come on.
Watch this. Tommy, do you follow Malik Nabers?
I actually do not follow him either.
What's wrong with you guys? Big fans.
What do you mean? I don't think I follow a single Giants player.
Well, you follow Kayvon Thibodeau in his fighting with, what's his name?
Dez.
Oh, no. Blame Elon Musk for that. That appears in my timeline just like this Nabers thing.
Very interesting. We do have a Cinco de 5-0 coming up with Sean Morash. He'll unveil a top 5 list. We'll have a hair follicle beard ceremony for Pete Alonso's return. And a very interesting question. Do we owe Woody Johnson an apology? All coming up at the 5 o'clock hour. 888-808-1019.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Think warm. Think palm trees. Think baseball.
Hi, I'm MLB.com's Matt Monaghan. The long, dark freeze is over, and spring training is finally here. If you're a baseball fan looking for a quick, easy way to get all the scores, top stories, and best sound bites from Florida and Arizona, you're in luck.
I don't think people realize how good we are. I don't even know if we realize how good.
The Morning Lineup Podcast, a short, less than 10-minute baseball highlight show, is available anywhere on any platform you listen to podcasts on, 5 days a week. We can't wait to meet you there.